Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Oh, what is up? Welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Monday today here. Good show for you planned today as my dreams came true. The Yankees proved themselves this weekend. They proved that I was right. Maybe a little bit, but they're not ready. No chance. None chance. Honestly, if you're the A's, you got to be loving it because... I mean, if you're the A's, honestly, we'll get to that, actually. We're going to get to that in the middle of this segment. But what a great weekend for the Red Sox. You are now 9.5 games up. 9.5. I know there's a lot of baseball to play. They still have, I want to say, two more series head-to-head against each other. I don't want to speculate, so we're going to figure it out. One second. Red Sox schedule here for August and September. So they finish off that one. So they're going to face them six more times. Yeah. So they do have two more series against them. So six more times head to head. But if you're the Yankees, you're like, I don't want to play them anymore. They had one chance to win. That was last night. And yeah, they blew it. So they're a great bullpen. Supposed to be this amazing bullpen. Obviously, it's one guy. It was Aroldis Chapman who did it last night. And then unfortunately... They already had used David Robertson. I don't know. Was Zach Britton already used in that game too? Why he wasn't pitching the... I mean, maybe he wanted it. Because the only problem is they're playing on the road. So when you're playing on the road, you have to... If you take a lead in the extra innings, you still have to save the game. So they probably wanted to keep... I mean, I bet you Aaron Boone probably wanted to keep Zach Britton if he did not pitch in that game. Let's give it... Hold on. Because they put in Holder. Oh, he did pitch. Britton pitched the... What is that? The seventh? Because Tanaka went 4 2/3. Robertson finished off the fifth, pitched the sixth, and then, yeah, Britton had the seventh, Tatis the eighth, Chapman the ninth. So, I mean, that's how you want to do it. Like, that's how you want to do it. But then once Chapman doesn't work out, then you have your next guy. It was Holder. Jonathan Holder came in, and that was it. I mean, gave up two hits and a walk to one and gave up a run. That was it. He got two outs. And everything that happened last night with Chapman was with two outs as well. So, got ahead to the Red Sox, obviously, scrappy team as well as a powerful team. I mean, the thing is, the Red Sox, they're complete. They're about as complete as a team you're going to find. I mean, yeah, they can get shaky with the starting pitching here and there sometimes, but they're as complete as you can find a team. And the fact that they had that rotation, no Chris Sale this weekend, it was Brian Johnson. Nathan Eovaldi, Rick Porcello, and David Price went and swept the Yankees at Fenway Park. So you gotta like that as well. And they also Eduardo Rodriguez is also on his way back as well. He made a bullpen. He made a bullpen little session yesterday or the day before this weekend, and as he's rehabbing back from his injury earlier this month or last month. All right, let's go into the scores from Friday, as we're going to do the whole weekend for you guys here on the show, as we always do on a Monday morning. I'll probably take up a couple segments for you guys, as we'll start on Friday in the desert. Giants and Diamondbacks played. Diamondbacks win 6-3 as they scored five runs in the first inning on Chris Stratton there at Chase Field as they held on to get the win. Paul Goldschmidt hit his 24th of the season. And David Peralta added his 17th of the year. Giants did not get a homer in that game as they were beat 6-3. Starting pitcher for the D-backs was Patrick Corbin as he went six innings, allowed three runs on seven hits, no walks, eight strikeouts as he gets his eighth win of the season. The Cubs beat the Padres 5-4 in Chicago as the Padres had to come back. They scored two in the top of the ninth, but were shut down after that. And the final was 5-4 as the Cubs get another win. I mean, the Cubs, they need to win these games against the weaker teams in the National League if they want to keep pace there in the NL Central. As right now, they hold a one-game lead over the Brewers coming off of a loss. Actually, they did lose the final game of that series. They both, Brewers and Cubs, both lost on Sunday, so we'll get there eventually. But back to Friday, as the Cubs and Cubs and Padres played, 5-4 was the victory for the Cubs. Javier Baez hit his 23rd of the year. Anthony Rizzo his 16th of the season. The Padres got one from Christian Villanueva, his 20th of the year. As Jose Quintana was good, he went six innings, allowed one run on four hits, no walks, six strikeouts. Just that homer to Villanueva was the blemish for him as he gets his 10th win of the year for the Cubs. Phillies beat the Marlins 5-1 as Vince Velasquez was very good in this one as they get the win at home. He went six and a third innings, allowed no runs on two hits, one walk, seven strikeouts for him. Very good on that one as they did not. Phillies didn't get a homer in this game. The Marlins, they scored their one run, wasn't a homer either, as they, this is a Brian Anderson single, was the only run they could get across, and the Phillies were able to, it was actually 2-1 game, and the Phillies scored three in the bottom of the eighth to kind of open that one up and get the win there. Let me go to the Pirates and Cardinals series as the Pirates win 7-6 in this one as it was kind of a back and forth affair here. It looks like it's a back and forth affair on the box score, but the Pirates, Pittsburgh actually was leading 6-2 with the Cardinals trying to come back, made it 6-5, and then they actually did tie it up in the top of the eighth to make it 6-6 before the Pirates broke the tie in the bottom of the eighth and took the lead 7-6. No home runs for the Pirates. Cardinals got one from Matt Carpenter again, his 27th of the season in the loss. Pirates win 7-6. Braves beat the Mets 2-1. Anibal Sanchez was very nice in this one as they beat Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom actually went eight innings, allowed two runs on six hits, no one walk, nine strikeouts, a homer allowed as he takes the loss. He's 5-7, and he leads the league in ERA. Just FYI, just a little public service announcement for Jacob DeGrom. He's a 1.85 ERA. He went eight innings, allowed two runs on six hits, and took a loss. That's just rough. Get me off this team, please, if I was him, please. The one home run he did give up was from Johan Camargo, his 13th of the season, as Anibal Sanchez went six innings, allowed one run on two hits, two walks, nine strikeouts, as he gets his sixth win of the season. Mets just can't give any run support to their best pitcher. He's a 1.85 ERA. 1.85. Hold on. I have to go look at the stats really quick, pitching stats. Because if he leads the whole league, not just the National League, the entire major leagues. He's a 1.85 ERA. He's the only pitcher of eligible pitchers that are, you know, you can qualifiers that have a sub 2 ERA. He's a 1.85 ERA. Next is Chris Sale at 2.04, and then Verlander at 2.19, Snell at 2.27. Yeah, he's very good. I mean, look at these pitchers. Honestly, these are the top of the line right here. I mean, DeGrom, Sale, Verlander, Snell, Scherzer, Bauer, Nola, Kluber, Cole, Nicholas, Morton. There you go. That's your and then Greinke. Those are your guys that are under a 3 ERA right now in the entire majors. But yeah, he's 5-7. He has five wins. That's going to show you how dumb that stat is. The win loss. Your win loss record means literally nothing. It's more of a team stat than it is a pitching stat. So just take that for data. All right, going over to the next game, White Sox beat the Rays in extras 3-2 in Tampa Bay. The White Sox get a run in the top of the 10th to win this one. Home runs in this game were only one. Jose Abreu hit his 18th of the season as they back up Lucas Giolito, who pitched well and obviously got no decision because of the, runs they had win the game in the top of the 10th inning. But he went seven innings, allowed one run on two hits, three walks, six strikeouts for him, as Lick said, no decision in that one. And then the Angels beat the Indians 7-4 in Cleveland as they got four runs in the top of the eighth inning to break a 3-3 tie. The Indians tried to come back in the bottom of the ninth. They got a run, but that was all they would get. Home runs for the Indians came from Leonis Martin, his 10th of the year, as they traded for him. He was a Tiger, and then he just got traded to the Indians during the trade deadline. Is making good on that. Angels got a home run from Shohei Ohtani. Actually, two of them, his 10th and his 11th on Friday. Is wow. I mean, maybe it was the Yankees and Red Sox playing, but did you hear about that? I know Tiger was playing this weekend in a big golf tournament, so maybe ESPN was preoccupied. But did you hear about Ohtani hitting two home runs on Friday? I mean, I did a little bit, but it wasn't really anywhere else other than maybe your baseball channels. The Angels are not good. That's why. They're not very good. If the Angels were good, if they were contending for a playoff spot, and he hits two home runs against the Indians, that's all over Major, all over SportsCenter, all over everywhere. Yeah, you didn't hear about it at all, because the Angels aren't very good. And Mike Socha is going to be stepping down at the end of the year anyways, or is expected to. But yeah, Ohtani hit two, his 10th and his 11th this year, as they get the win there in Cleveland. Indians, they already have their home runs. Red Sox beat the Yankees 4-1 as Rick Porcello was very good in this one, going the distance, actually, against the Red Sox, against the Yankees in 9 innings. A complete game, one run, one hit performance. The one hit was a home run by Miguel Andujar, as that was the one hit he gave up. He pitched a one hit shutout. It was one hit complete game. I wish it was a shutout, but that would have been great. But a one hit complete game, as they got the one run on the homer by Andujar and the 9 strikeouts for Porcello. Home runs for the Red Sox came from Steve Pierce. He hit his 9th of the year on Friday. Moving on to the Rangers and Orioles. The Rangers win 11-3 on Friday as Rotto gets the win, as the Rangers scored 7 runs in the bottom of the 4th inning. Homers in this game came from Joey Gallo, his 28th. Robinson Chirinos, his 15th. Rougned Odor, his 12th of the year for the Rangers. The Orioles did not hit a home run in this game, as this one was a bloodbath. Brewers beat the Rockies 5-3 in Milwaukee, as they got 3 runs in the bottom of the 9th inning to win this game in a walk-off fashion against Colorado, as the Rockies were leading, obviously. They were up 3-2 before that 3-run 9th inning gets the Brewers the much-needed victory there to keep pace with the Cubs in the NL Central. And this one, home runs came from Christian Yelich, his 17th of the year, and Eric Thames hit the walk-off homer, the 3-run shot off Wade Davis in the bottom of the 9th inning with 2 outs to win that game. Home runs for the Rockies came from Trevor Story, his 21st, and Carlos Gonzalez, his 14th of the season. As Jermaine Marquez was pretty good. He went 7 innings, led 2 runs on 3 hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts, the homer allowed, but no decision for him as the game was blown in the late innings. Twins beat the Royals 6-4. I'm reading this wrong. 6-4 there, as they get the win at home. The home runs for this one came from the Royals, just the one from Salvador Perez, his 19th of the season. A's shut out the Tigers. Actually, they beat them 1-0 in 13 innings. They scored a run in the bottom of the 13th. This game was scoreless for quite a while, as Brett Anderson was very good. 7 shutout innings, 2 runs, 1 or 2 walks, 1 hit, or 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. I can't read these box scores. Blaine Hardy also was very good. 7 shutout innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. The pitcher's duel there, I mean, lasted 12 innings before the A's were finally able to scratch across the run on a Ramon Loreno. Guy just got called up from the minors. Singled home Nick Martini, another guy who just got called up from the minors earlier last month, to win that game in Oakland. Astros beat the Dodgers 2-1 on Friday, as they got the win behind Justin Verlander. He was very good at Dodger Stadium in the rematch of the World Series from last year. Verlander went 7 2/3 innings, 1 run allowed, 4 hits, 1 walk, 14 strikeouts. The one hit he allowed was a home run to Jock Peterson, one run allowed was to home run to Jock Peterson, his 17th of the season, for the Dodgers. The Astros did not get a home run, but they didn't need one as they scored two in the second, and that's all they needed to win that game 2-1. And the final game of the day, as the Reds and Nationals game was postponed due to rain in D.C., the final game was Blue Jays beating the Mariners 7-2 as they beat up on Marco Gonzalez a little bit in this one. He gave up four runs over seven innings of work. Home runs in this game came from Russell Martin, his 10th, and Travis, his 7th of the season for the Blue Jays. That's Devin Travis, the second baseman there for them, as they got a nice start from their young left-hander, Ryan Barucci, as he went 8 innings, allowed just one earned run. So no earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks. No walks, 2 strikeouts for that one, as he gets his first win of the season. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back and quickly do Saturday and Sunday's games in the next segment as well, and then we'll go into some talk, and I'll maybe do a little bit of a rant on the Yankees, or not, because we don't have that much time. All right, we'll come back after the break. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Monday today. Here is recapping the games from the weekend for you as we go over to Saturday's games. Giants and Diamondbacks again from the desert. Diamondbacks win 9-3. They got another 5-run first inning against the Giants there, and they added on a few more throughout the game as they win 9-3. Home runs in this one for the Giants came from Andrew McCutchen, his 12th, and Steven Duggar, the rookie, hit his first home run of his career as he got one off Clay Buchholz there in the fourth inning. D-backs got home run from Kendall Marte, his 10th of the season. Nick Ahmed actually had two, his 15th and his 16th of the year for the D-backs as they get the win there in the desert. Clay Buchholz wins 6 innings, 2 runs allowed on 7 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts for him, just the 2 and the 2 homers allowed. Reds beat the Nationals 7-1 as they got a good start from Anthony DeSclafani in this one, as they got the home runs in this one came from the Reds. Irvin, young left fielder for them, got his first home run of the year. Not his first home run of his career, but Philip Irvin, his first home run of the year for the Reds. And then they had another young player, right fielder and second baseman, on Saturday. That's Brandon Dixon, hit his second of the season for the Reds in this one. As DeSclafani was very good, 7 innings and 1 run allowed, 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts as they beat up on the Nationals on Gio Gonzalez, of all people, for the Nationals there. 7-1, Reds win. And then game 2 of this doubleheader, the second game, Nationals win this one as they split the doubleheader. 6-2 was the final. Jeremy Hellickson beats Matt Harvey. And this one is Harvey actually, they gave up single runs in the first 4 innings and 2 in the 5th, and that was really it. Hellickson was really good. 5 2/3, 2 runs, 4 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts, a couple homers allowed. Those were to Peraza, his 6th of the year, and Eugenio Suarez, his 26th of the year for him, as he's been very good for the Reds this year. Home runs for the Nationals came from Matt Adams, his 18th of the season for Washington, as they get the win, splitting that doubleheader with the Reds. Cubs beat the Padres again, 5-4 in Chicago, as Kyle Hendricks gets his 8th win of the year. He's now 8-9 on the season. He's went 5 2/3 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to Austin Hedges, his 8th of the season. Cubs got a home run from Kyle Schwarber, his 20th, and from Anthony Rizzo, his 17th of the season for them, as they get another much-needed win over the weekend against the Padres. Red Sox beat the Yankees again, 4-1. Very similar, same score as on Friday, as Nathan Eovaldi gets the win it's not his debut with the Red Sox. I think it's just his second start with the Red Sox. He goes 8 shutout innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. As starter for the Yankees, actually in this game, was Chance Adams. He went 5 innings, allowed 3 runs on 3 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, couple homers. But Eovaldi went 8 shutout. And this is the guy the Yankees probably could have got if they really wanted to go after him. They got Jay Happ. They wanted more left-handed starters versus the Red Sox needed right-handed starters. They have enough lefties in their rotation for sure. The Yankees don't. So they wanted a left-handed starter. They got Jay Happ. Red Sox get Eovaldi. And Eovaldi pitches very nicely in his first 2 starts with the Red Sox. Getting a win there for them against the bitter rival, the team he actually has pitched. I think, did he come up with the Yankees? Or I think he either came up with the Yankees. Definitely has been on the Yankees before, but I think he actually came up with the Yankees in their organization. Home runs in this game came from Mitch Moreland, his 13th, and J.D. Martinez, his 33rd of the year. The Yankees did not hit a home run in this game off of against the Red Sox pitching. They lose again. Final was 4-1. White Sox beat the Rays 2-1, and as they get a home, they get a good start from Cedeno. I can't pronounce Cedeno. Therefore, the White Sox, who gets the win, and actually got the win in relief there. Carlos Rodon was the starter, pitched very nicely, 6 innings, no earned runs, just one unearned run, 3 hits, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts for Rodon. Cedeno was in the relief. I'm like, nah, that's right. That makes more sense. Home runs came from Jose Abreu, his 19th of the season. The Rays did not get a home run, as Blake Snell only went 4 innings, allowed 1 run on 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Mave came out again as he was on the DL for shoulder fatigue, and Mave had to come out of that game early due to some more flare-ups in his pitching arm. So I hope he gets better pretty soon. He's a very good pitcher. He's good for the league. Phillies beat the Marlins 8-3 as Zach Eflin was very good in this one for Philadelphia. The bats also came to play as Nick Williams hit a home run, his 15th, Esteban Cabrera his 19th of the year, Carlos Santana his 17th, and Cesar Hernandez his 9th of the year, as the Phillies played a little home run derby in their home park there. Got a nice start from Eflin as he went 8 innings, 3 runs allowed, 4 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts, just a couple home runs. Those were to Justin Bour, his 18th, and Miguel Rojas hit his 8th of the year for the Marlins. Cardinals beat the Pirates 8-4 as they got a good start from Daniel Hudson making the start for the Cardinals there? Or no, it was Gomber, actually. Hudson came in relief and pitched 3 innings of shutout ball very nicely. Actually, perfect ball. 3 perfect innings, actually, from Daniel Hudson as he came over. I'm thinking in a trade, or that's Dakota Hudson. I'm seeing D. Hudson, and I'm thinking of the wrong person. Daniel Hudson for the Cardinals gets the win there. His second one of the year, as he went very nicely. Those 3 innings of relief. Home runs came from Matt Carpenter, shocker, his 28th of the year. He's been on an absolute tear. Starting even from the month of July, David Freese hit his 8th of the year for the Pirates against his former team. Mets shut out the Braves as Zach Wheeler pitched very nicely. Did not get traded over the during the non-waiver deadline. Could still get moved during the waiver deadline as he went 7 innings of shutout ball, 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts for him. Home runs in this game were non-existent as the Mets win 3-0. Brewers beat the Rockies 8-4 in Milwaukee as Freddy Peralta gets a win there for the Brewers. He was good. 6 innings, 2 runs allowed, 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a homer allowed. He's 5-2 now in the year. Home runs for the Brewers came from Travis Shaw, his 21st of the season. Hernan Perez hit his 8th and his 9th. And Ryan Braun, his 12th of the year. Rockies got a home run from Trevor Story. Actually, a couple, his 22nd and 23rd of the season for the Rockies shortstop as they lose that one. Royals beat the Twins 8-2. Jose Barrios was very good in this one as he gets his 11th win of the season. He went 7 innings, 2 runs allowed, 5 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts for him. As the home runs for the Twins came from Eddie Rosario, his 20th of the season, and Max Kepler his 14th. Logan Morrison added his 15th of the year for the Twins, as the Royals did not hit a homer in this one as they drop it 8-2. Indians shut out the Angels behind Corey Kluber. 3-0 was the final there, as Kluber was very good as he went the distance. Complete game shutout for Kluber. 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts for him. Home runs came from Leos Martin, his 11th of the year for the season, as he came over from the Detroit Tigers during the trade deadline. I think that's already second home run, second or third home run for the Indians since the trade. So looking pretty good there for them. Rangers beat the Orioles 3-1 at home as Mike Minor gets the win, beating Dylan Bundy in a pitcher's duel. Minor went 7 innings with 1 run, allowed 4 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts as the Rangers get another win. Home runs in this game came from Joey Gallo, his 29th, and Rougned Odor, his 13th of the year for the Rangers. A's beat the Tigers again as Edwin Jackson was excellent in this one. 2-1 was the final. Tigers got a run in the very first inning, and that was it. Jackson was locked down as he went 6 3/3 innings. Just gave up that 1 run that was unearned, actually, in this one. I think it was 5 hits. As, of course, my app crashes right when I'm trying to do this game to try and keep the scores here for you. But, you know, the A's and Tigers, as I find it again, Jackson gets another win. 5 hits, I was right. 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. Don't doubt myself at all, ever, as he went got his third win of the year. Home runs came from Matt Chapman, his 14th, and Chris Davis hit his 30th of the season for Oakland as they continue to win. They're now 20 games over 500, the A's are. Astros beat up on the Dodgers 14-0 as they get the win. Somebody must have not gone long enough. Lance McCullers went 4 innings of shutout ball, but came out due to elbow tightness, I think is what they put him on the DL for, or maybe shoulder tightness. He came out of that game, and Brad Peacock came in and pitched 2 innings to get the win. I'm like, how did a starter not get the win? They shut him out. But that was because of injury, of course. That would be the reasoning for that. Home runs for the Astros came from Marwin Gonzalez, his 9th of the season. Reddick hit his 12th of the year, and Jake Marisnik hit his 9th of the season for the Astros. Dodgers were not able to get a run across against the Astros pitching staff. Final game of Saturday was the Blue Jays and Mariners. As the Blue Jays win again, Mariners, they're reeling. They're still got a nice little record, but they're reeling. Blue Jays, they should beat up on the Blue Jays too at home, but they don't. As Marco Estrada pitches nicely in this one, the Blue Jays win 5-1. They beat James Paxton, who went 7 innings, 3 runs allowed, 8 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, a homer. Marco Gonzalez was better. 7 innings, 1 run allowed, 1 hit, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, no homers. The home runs for the Blue Jays came from Aledmys Diaz, his 13th of the season. The Mariners did not get one as they dropped this one 5-1. And that'll wrap it up for Saturday. On Sunday, the Giants did get a win to split that series, a 4-game series with the D-backs. They win 3-2 as they got a run in the top of the 8th inning on a Evan Longoria home run. That was his 12th of the season. The Diamondbacks got one from Steven Souza Jr., his 3rd of the year, as Robbie Ray was pretty good. Went 5 1/3 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks. 8 strikeouts for him as he got a no decision. Derek Holland also pretty good. 5 1/3 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. That home run allowed to Souza, really the only big blemish there, as he gets a no decision as well. The Giants win as they got the run late in the game. Braves beat the Mets 5-4 as Minter gets the win in relief, I'm guessing, here for the Braves. Yes, Julio Teheran went 5 2/3 innings, allowed 3 runs on 5 hits, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, a homer allowed. He actually hit his first career home run as well in this game in the 5th inning. And then Ender Inciarte hit his 7th of the year, Nick Markakis his 13th of the year, as the Braves get the win there. Mets got a home run from Austin Jackson. He was on the Giants all year. Didn't hit one home run. They got traded to the Rangers. The Rangers then cut him, and the Mets picked him up. He's had 2 home runs already for them. Devin Marasco also hit his 9th of the season for New York, but they lose this one 5-4 on the road. White Sox beat the Rays 8-7 as this was an offensive outpour. This one also a kind of a back and forth affair, as the White Sox do get the last hurrah, scoring those two runs in the top of the ninth to extend their lead out. The Rays trying to come back, but they were just held a bit short in this one. Home runs for the Rays came from Wendell, their second baseman, his sixth of the year. And the White Sox got a home run from Avisiel Garcia, actually two of them, his 12th and his 13th. And then Palka hit his 17th of the season for them, the young first baseman. Or is he playing left field? He's big. He's just the big dude. He plays, no, because Abreu's playing first, so Palka's DHing. I mean, they go back and forth, I bet you. Indians beat the Angels 4-3 as Shane Bieber gets his sixth win of the season as the Indians get a win there at home. Home runs came from Jose Ramirez, his 33rd of the year for the Indians. No home runs for the Angels as they get the they get beat again in Cleveland. Nationals beat the Reds 2-1 as Tanner Roark was very good, and this one gets his sixth win of the season as he went seven innings, allowed one run on seven hits, no walks, two strikeouts for him, no homers allowed as he was good, gets his, like I said, sixth win of the season for the Nationals. The home runs in this one, I don't think we're, as Luis Castillo is a tough luck loser in this one. He was also very good as he went 5 1/3 innings, gave up two runs on six hits, two walks, three strikeouts, to give up a home run. That was to Matt Wieters, his fourth of the season for the Nationals. Phillies beat the Marlins 5-3 as they got two runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to break a 3-3 tie. Pat Nisha gets the win in relief as Aaron Nola gets a no decision, but he wins good. Six innings, two runs, seven hits, two walks, two strikeouts for him. A homer allowed. That was to Derek Dietrich, his 14th. Justin Bour added his 19th of the year for the Marlins. The Phillies got a home run from Astrubal Cabrera in the bottom of the eighth inning to break that tie and get the win. Cardinals beat the Pirates 2-1 as we're going to cover this game on the other side of the break. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Monday, as we're going to quickly get through these games from Sunday, from just yesterday, as we left off with the Cardinals and the Pirates. Cardinals win 2-1. Jack Flaherty was very good in this one, as they get a much, well, I mean, are the Cardinals still in it? We'll get into that and probably on Wednesday when we go over the AL, NL Central. I'm doing AL today pretty much, and then the Phillies also later in this segment as they were on fire. But the Phillies, Flaherty, back to this game. Flaherty was very good. Six shutout innings, three hits, one walk, seven strikeouts for him. Home runs in this game that came from Matt Carpenter as he continues to just be on an absolute tear. Pirates got one from Frazier. That's his fourth of the season for the Pirates, as that's their second baseman, the Adam Frazier. There's a bunch of Fraziers. Clint Frazier, Adam Frazier. There's one more, the Todd Frazier. There you go, the Todd father. All right, but Cardinals get the win, 2-1. Rockies beat the Brewers 5-4 in extras, as the Brewers actually tied this game up in the bottom of the ninth inning with three runs to make it 4-4. Then the Rockies get the win in the top of the 11th inning on a home run by Nolan Arenado, his 29th of the season. They also got a home run from Trevor Story, his 24th of the year. Brewers got one from Travis Shaw, his 22nd, and Mike Moustakas, his 21st of the season for the Brewers as they drop that one in extras. They're 5-4 Rockies win. Twins beat the Royals 6-5 in Minnesota as they scored four in the bottom of the second inning to pace their offensive attack there. Home runs came from Cave. That's the center fielder there for the Twins, Jack Cave, as he hit his fourth of the season. The Royals got a home run from Lucas Duda, his 10th, and Whit Merrifield hit his 7th of the year there for Kansas City as the Twins actually win this one 6-5. Like, wait, Twins win. Padres beat the Cubs 10-6 as they got four runs in the top of the ninth inning to break that tie. Or actually, at least, well, actually, they were winning. They were probably up. They were up. They were up 6-5 already. It looks like, yeah, they're up 6-5 already. Made it 10-5, and the Cubs got a run in the bottom of the 10th. So they did extend that lead out and get the win there. As the home runs in this game were from Freddie Galvis. His 6th of the year, and for the Reyes for the Padres, it's a young right fielder there for them. Fermil Reyes hit his 7th of the season, and then Hunter Renfro hit his 9th of the year. The Cubs got a home run from Javi Baez, his 24th, and Ben Zobrist, his 8th of the season. As John Lester got a no decision, he gave up 5 runs over 5 innings pitched, and then Lucchesi went 5 2/3 innings, 2 runs. Three total, 2 earned, 7 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts, a homer allowed by Lucchesi, and no decision for him as well. Orioles beat the Rangers 9-6 as they got runs in the first 3 innings as well, but they also scored 2 in the 7th to kind of extend that out and get them the win there as home runs. And this one came from none for the Rangers, actually, surprising, as the home runs came from Wins, his 3rd of the year for the Orioles. That's their catcher. Trying to learn first names here. Austin Wins of these young players. I'm only getting last names. I'm trying to learn first names. Mark Trumbo hit 2, his 14th and his 15th of the year. And then Jonathan Villar hit his I'm pretty sure that's the second baseman there. He was traded over from the Brewers. Jonathan Villar hit his 7th of the year for the Orioles there as it's his first in an Orioles uniform. A's shut out the Tigers 6-0. Trevor Cahill was excellent in this one as he went 6 shutout, 3 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts in this one. Wow, excellent performance for Cahill as Chris Davis, his 31st of the season, Matt Chapman, his 15th, and Matt Olson, his 22nd of the season for the A's. As Cahill was very good, like I said, 6 shutout innings. Astros beat the Dodgers 3-2. Dodgers beat the Astros 3-2. Walker Buehler gets his 5th win of the season, beating Garrett Cole as he gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a couple homers allowed, and 5 1/3 innings pitched. The home runs came from George Springer, his 19th of the year. That was the first pitch of the ball game, and Tony Kemp, his 4th. That was the only runs that the Astros would score in that game. And the final 2 games of the day, Brewers, Mariners, and Blue Jays. Mariners win 6-3. They get a much-needed win to salvage a game in that series. Home runs came from Kyle Seager. Kyle Seager hit 2 of them, his 17th and his 18th of the year. Nelson Cruz hit his 29th of the season as they back up Mike Leake, but he gets no decision. And this one, home run for the Blue Jays came from Elidmas Diaz, his 14th of the season. And then the Yankees and Red Sox, as this will perfectly segue into my talk for this segment here. We'll do the Phillies and the AL West in the next segment, probably. But, yeah, the Red Sox complete the sweep of the Yankees. As, you know, I'll give you the game notes really quick here for this one. As Masahiro Tanaka actually was a starter for the Yankees. He was very good in this one. Only one blemish, and it was the home run by Mookie Betts that went out of the ballpark, went over the Green Monster and out of the ballpark. He gave up 6 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Only lasted 4 2/3 innings because the Yankees actually were trailing in that game 1-0 as David Price was on fire until the 7th inning. He gave up 2 runs in the 7th, and those were the only 2 batters he faced. They both came around and scored. So he went 6 innings, 2 runs allowed, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So 6 shutout innings pretty much, and then gave up those 2 runs in the 7th. The bullpen actually were the ones that allowed those runs to score, but they are charged to David Price as he was the one to allow them to reach base. So that's how it works. I'm going to give you the 9th really quick here. So, I mean, the Yankees, they scored on an error by by Xander Bogaerts to take the lead, actually 2-1. Then Stanton hit a single to make it 3-1, and then Torres hit a sacrifice fly to make it 4-1. And then in the bottom of the ninth, with two outs and the bases loaded, JD Martinez took a high fastball or belt high fastball from Aroldis Chapman and put it right over the second baseman's head into right center field. Scored two runs, made it 4-3, and then to what looked like was going to end the game, Xander Bogaerts came up and hit a bouncing ball to third base and at deep third. I know it was a long throw, I'll give you that, but it looked like Ajihar kind of changed the throw a little bit. He could have definitely given it a little bit more of a whip across the diamond, but he bounced it, and that's the thing. I'll give you this is my comments on the Yankees. Young players, they have some great young players, but young players make errors. And Greg Bird could not hold on to that ball. I mean, it was not the easiest scoop to make because it was a backhander, but not the hardest one either. I think he throws right-handed and bats left-handed. So yeah, so I'm looking at it here. He's a right-handed first baseman. If he's left-handed, it's a much easier scoop because you can catch it forehanded and you don't have to backhand that scoop because it bounced off the dirt, bounced actually pretty high. I played first base for a long time, so I've had my fair share of scoops made and missed, believe me. But, you know, obviously on a major league level, you got to make that play. You have to, because that's the game. The game's over. You win. You're not 9.5 back. You're 8.5 back. Or actually, no, they would have been 7.5 back if they won that game, because, you know, that's how it's a two-game swing right there. It's a two-game swing in one play. Not quite, because the Yankees could have won that game still, but they did not. I'm telling you, no chance. Zero. Their best chance was last year, and they missed it. Their best chance was last year. Their pitching was doing well. They had a 3-1 lead on the Astros, and they blew it. The Astros won the World Series, and now they get all these young players. It's great and stuff, but they make errors. They make mistakes. Ajihar is a young player. Give it some oomph. You watch the highlight of the play yesterday. You think he kind of just flung it across the diamond, thinking that it was being no problem. It bounces. And you tie the game's tied, and then obviously the top of the 10th or the bottom of the 10th is a different story. We'll go over that maybe in a minute. But looking at this play, I mean, he has it deep third, but this is basically pretty much a routine play for a third baseman. You're deep third in the corner, you're in fair territory. What happened was he actually kind of was on his back foot, but then kind of it looked like his stride on his throw was weird. He kind of either got a cleat got caught, because he kind of double clutched on his throw, and the stride on the throw, he never really cleared it. So you can tell. I mean, it's all mechanics, honestly. I'm breaking this down really deeply because I can tell from a baseball, student of the game standpoint, kind of here, looking at his throw, he's way too upright. Number one, way too upright from that deeper third. Watch Nolan Arenado make plays at third. Even Manny Machado when he was over there at third. Now he's obviously at shortstop, but watch the best third base in the league, Nolan Arenado, Matt Chapman. They get wide. Their strides are really long. They get low to the ground, and their arms whip through. Ajihar, you can see his stride on third base. Either he was trying to get like a longer loopier throw, but with Bogaerts' speed, I think he realized halfway through the throw that, oh crap, I got to get something on this, or it's not going to be good. It's going to be late. The throw will be late anyways. Even if I make a good throw, it'll be late if I make it a loopy throw. So he tried to put something on it, and when you have that short of a stride, your body gets in the way, and the ball will have a dial or an angle, kind of like a pitcher. So you want that. That's why that front foot hits, and you can get that good tilt on the ball. You don't want tilt on the ball when you're throwing it 127 or 130 feet across the diamond like that. So his throw was low. You could see it was going low the whole time. Bounces off the glove of Bird. And the game is tied there. And then, of course, Andrew Benintendi. And, I mean, if you watched what happened in the 10th inning, you would be like, shifts? What are we doing? That should be an out. Andrew Benintendi hit a ground ball to, it was up the middle, but it was more towards second base. But the second baseman was swung way over in the hole. The shortstop was over closer to the shortstop because he had to hold on the runner. He had to hold the runner on second base because there was a runner on second at the time, so he had to be on the shortstop side, second, covering second base, and then the ball goes right through the open area there for Benintendi, and the second guy at second comes around and scores. So that's the way it happens, and that's what happens sometimes in baseball. It's just the way it is. All right, I know we're getting close to the end of the segment here as I'm going to go over the AL. I mean, we're talking about AL East here. Yankees, Red Sox are pretty much, they are the AL East. Yankees have an 9.5 game lead now. Lots of baseball to go. Like I said, there's six games head-to-head between those two. But the thing is, the Red Sox are just so complete. They're a complete team. Their bullpen may be a little teeny shaky. They still got Kimbrel in there. They got some veteran arms and some young arms as well. But their lineup is solid. They don't rely on the home run. They can win games with doubles and line drives and good base running and bouncing balls up the middle. They can do it. They can win games on errors. They can force you to make a play. That's how you win playoff games. Look at how the Giants won the World Series those three times. They forced the hand. I mean, me being a Giants fan, I remember all this stuff. So it's 2012. You're down to your last out pretty much against the Reds. You have to win. You're down 2-0. You have to win this game. You put the ball in play. You made Scott Rolen make an error. Next series against the actually I think it was 2014 against the Cardinals. You are playing at home. You have a runner at first and second. What do you do? You bunt. You make the pitcher make a play. What does he do? Throws the ball down the right field line. You win the game on a walk off. So, I mean, it all comes together where these simple things, and if you don't make the routine plays, you're going to lose a lot of baseball games. I know the Yankees have won their fair share of baseball games, pretty much. I mean, believe me, I'll give them that. I believe the Giants had their record, I'd be very happy. We'll say that. But they play in a tough division. They're 68-42, and they're 9.5 games back in their division. And the A's, they're winning. The A's continue to win. And actually, we're going to get on that on the second, on the other side of the break. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back to the SMC Baseball Podcast on a Monday today here, final segment of the day, as we're going to push off the previews of the pitching matchups for the next 2 days until the last few minutes of the show, as I'm going to talk about I wanted to get to the Phillies a little bit here. I got to give them their due diligence because they went a little bit of a dive last week, and then now they just reel off five in a row, sweep the Reds. I think this is that who they played, the Reds? No, they played somebody else. Who they play this weekend? The Marlins. They swept the Marlins over the weekend, and a team they need to sweep because that's one of the weaker teams in their division. They're going to play them a lot, and they need to be able to win those games. So, and keep pace with the Braves. I mean, the thing is, the Nationals are six back. They've actually won 7 of the last 10, which is good for the Nationals, but they're not looking too hot right now, at least in the AL East, in the NL East. With the Phillies, you got to give them credit. They got everybody going. They got good. They made some great moves. I love their moves. Estupel Cabrera, great move. Love that move. They didn't really need any pitching help. Their rotation is very nice. I would have liked them see them get maybe a left-handed starter to see if they can work their way in and get into that rotation, maybe, or at least to have them for a little change of pace in the postseason, because this team is headed to the postseason likely. And so they have all right-handed starters, but they made it work this year. They've got the young starters going, and it is what it is for the Phillies. Because you can't knock it. You can't, if it ain't fixed, don't broke. Don't fix it. I'm trying to say there, as 63-48 is pretty good for a team that was losing 100 games on the regular the last few seasons. So got a hand to the Phillies. They're getting everything figured out. They got some good young players. They get Pat Neshek back and healthy to shore up that bullpen. They also have the Sir Anthony. I think it's what's his name? Their closer there for the Phillies. I think is it Dominguez? Oh no, he pitched earlier. Yeah, Sir Anthony Dominguez. He's pretty darn good too. Even though he did blow a save on Sunday, but he's been pretty good for them as well in their bullpen. So I like what I see from the Phillies. Honestly, The National League is so even. It's the opposite of the American League, where you can pretty much point out the Red Sox and Astros. Maybe you can predict them in the ALCS this season. The National League is nope. Can't do that. You could say Phillies Dodgers in the NLCS. You could think, I mean, I don't know, Phillies Cubs. I mean, all Diamondbacks, Rockies. I mean, who's really going to take it in the National League? I think this last 2 months are really going to tell us. And the Braves, don't forget about the Braves. They're right there, too. So, I mean, talk about complete teams. The Phillies, they are a complete team. They're very, I mean, it's actually very similar to their counterparts in the same division as them, the Braves. They're both young cores, but with veteran presence. The Braves have Nick Markakis, and honestly, Mike Fulcinevich is a veteran by now. And they have Freddie Freeman, and they have Julio Teheran still, who's playing better now. And the Phillies, they have veterans too. They have Jake Arrieta, and they have Carlos Santana. And honestly, you can call Odubel Herrera and Mikel Franco veterans at this point. They also have young players in Rhys Hoskins and Zach Eflin and Nick Pivetta. Just like the Braves have young players with Acuna and obviously Albies and Soroka, who actually I think is back down in AAA, but then also Sean Newcomb as well. So they have it's very interesting. They're similar. They have young pitchers, young position players. They have older pitchers and older position players. So it's a good mixture. Both those teams could be destined for runs. And the thing is, did you think the Giants were going to win the World Series in 2012? I didn't. I'm a fan. I didn't think they were going to win the World Series. The Tigers, after all those game elimination games, honestly, I did have a good feeling because of the fact that it was kind of destiny almost that, with all those elimination games. But there are teams that thought they were out of it. There are teams that thought they were maybe middle of the pack in at this point, maybe even in a month from now, beginning of September, and they ended up going on runs. It's not about who is the best. I mean, yes, okay, it is about being who has the best roster is helps. But the Astros won the World Series last year pretty much without a bullpen. So, I mean, that's obviously when your lineup is as good as theirs, that can help. But it's about getting hot at the end of the year. It's about getting your rotation set up at the end of the year. I can go back to the Yankees and say that they don't have their rotation set up because I don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to go back to the AL East, but you know, it is what it is. Okay. Quickly though, before we get to the preview, I did want to touch on the AL West and public service announcement number two. The A's, the Oakland Athletics, are four games back of the Astros. Just four. They're four games back, and there's probably still about, 50 games to play, or maybe 45 games to play this season, and they're four games back. They could win the West. They honestly could. They've leapfrogged the Mariners. The Mariners have kind of fallen off a little bit. I mean, they can make their way back. Not really worried about it, but that series against the Blue Jays was not very good. They needed to get definitely more. They needed to win that series, and they didn't. But they're now 2.5 back. The A's have a 2.5 game cushion on the Mariners, and now the A's also with the fact that they've won all those, they've won six in a row, and the Yankees have lost five in a row, so that means the A's are only 2.5 back of the first wild card, which we thought the Yankees had a locked down. The Yankees are like a 2 week stretch of badness and the Mariners being good and the A's being good from missing the playoffs. This is the first, you heard it here first, folks. The Yankees could miss the playoffs. They're five games away from being out of a playoff berth. Obviously, losing five games in a row is going to be like, they're not going to keep doing that. They could win five games in a row in a week, but just their rotation is just not good. It's no bueno. You Sonny Gray can't pitch at Yankee Stadium. He can't pitch there. He can't. His ERA is like 7. CeCe Sabathia, he's been pretty good. Tanaka actually was okay until he was taken out because of the pitch count and because of the score yesterday, but I just don't. I'm shaking my head because the Yankees, yeah, it's all great on paper. Their lineup is deadly, but you have to pitch. And their lineup wasn't that deadly last night. They scored, I mean, or this series, they scored two runs on Friday and Saturday combined. Two runs. They scored one on Friday and one on Saturday. Yeah, they scored 8 on Thursday, but they couldn't pitch. They gave up 15 runs. So, I don't know, that kind of cancels out a little bit there. And then yesterday, they got 4 in one inning, and that was about it. So, that goes to show you that it's ridiculous. But, no, AL West, quickly, AL West is up for grabs, baby. It's up for grabs. The A's are 4 back. So watch out. They're swinging A's. They're going to come for you. And, I mean, looking at their schedule, they have a series with the Astros coming up. The Astros actually are in San Francisco right now to face the Giants. So that's actually a pretty interesting little series going on this week, as they have, I think, just two games against the Giants. And then this weekend, they are 4-gamer in Seattle at home against the Mariners. So that could be interesting as well. And then they get the Colorado Rockies for 2 next week. And then they go to Oakland. Not this weekend, but next weekend. They'll be in Oakland for a big 3-game series before they go to Seattle. And then they actually, interesting, so the last two weeks of August, the Astros only play AL West opponents. They play the A's for 3, then the Mariners for 3, then the Angels for 3 on that road trip, all on the road. And they come home for the A's for 3, and the Angels for 4. So, interesting right there. You'll definitely see some movement in the AL West in the next couple of weeks. So pay attention. All right, here, let's get to the games for today and tomorrow quickly, as I'll just run through the starting pitchers, the probables for the games really quickly here. In the Astros-Giants game in San Francisco, it'll be Charlie Morton against Derek Rodriguez. Reds and Mets get a series started in New York. It'll be Homer Bailey against Noah Syndergaard. Twins and Indians, it'll be in Cleveland. It'll be Kyle Gibson against Trevor Bauer on Monday. Cardinals travel to Miami to face the Marlins. It'll be Luke Weaver against Wei-Yin Chen. Mariners go to Texas to face the Rangers. Wade LeBlanc against Perez for the I can never remember his first name. Martin Perez. Because I always think it's Hernan Perez, but that's the other guy on the Brewers. Yankees go to Chicago to try and get some wins as they face the White Sox. Lance Lynn will make a start for the Yankees against Dylan Covey. Cubs go to Kansas City for an interleague series against the Royals. Cole Hamels against Jacob Junis. Pirates go to Colorado to face the Rockies. Joe Musgrove against Kyle Freeland. Phillies and D-backs in the desert. It'll be Jake Arrieta against Zach Godley. And the Tigers and Angels in Anaheim. Matthew Boyd against Nick Tropiano for the Angels. And then on Tuesday, the marquee matchup, I think, of the day, there's a couple of them, actually. One of them is in San Francisco, Dallas Keuchel against Madison Bumgarner, who have both actually been kind of underwhelming this year. So they both were at the height of their this league. Both of them were very good, but it'll be the battle of lefties out by the bay. Braves and Nationals, it'll be a pair of young pitchers. It'll be for the Braves, it'll be their young left-hander Max Fried against the young right-hander for the Nationals, Jeffrey Rodriguez. And then the second half of the doubleheader, game 2, will be Sean Newcomb against Max Scherzer. Red Sox and Blue Jays from Toronto will be Drew Pomeranz and Marcus Stroman. Orioles and Rays, Alex Cobb coming back home to face his former team against Tyler Glasnow, who will be the opener of that game for the Rays. Mets and Reds from Citi Field, it'll be Sal Romano against Jason Vargas. Twins and Indians from Progressive Field in Cleveland, it'll be Mejia for the Twins against Carlos Carrasco for the Indians. That's Alberto Mejia for the Twins. Cardinals and Marlins, Miles Mikolas against Ronaldo Lopez. Or is that Pablo Lopez? Hold on. I think it's Pablo Lopez. Ronaldo Lopez is on the White Sox. Mariners and the Rangers, it'll be Felix Hernandez against Bartolo Colon. That's an interesting little start right matchup right there. Yankees and White Sox, it'll be CeCe Sabathia against Ronaldo Lopez. Here you go. Padres and Brewers, it'll be Clayton Richard against Chase Anderson. I said that last time, didn't I? Chase Anderson against the Padres. Cubs and Royals, Mike Montgomery against Brad Keller for the Royals. Pirates and Rockies, it'll be Jameson Taillon against the Rockies. Do not have a starter announced, actually, for that game yet. But whoever it is will face Jameson Taillon. Phillies and D-backs, Nick Pivetta against Zach Greinke. Dodgers and A's get a series starter from Oakland. It'll be Rich Hill against Sean Manaea. and then Tigers and Angels from Anaheim. Mike Fiers against Andrew Heaney. All right, perfect timing. Look at that. As we come to the end of the show today, as you know, Yankees, you got time. You can try and make your way back, but honestly, I'd be more worried about the wild card and the fact that you're, like I said, five games away from being out of a playoff spot. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too afraid of the Mariners because they're kind of on a trend right now that they've kind of fallen every year. They get, I mean, whether it's the plane miles or traveling gets to them or whatever it is, they seem to fall off at the end of the season. We still got time, obviously, for them to turn it around or fall off further as well. So I'm thinking the A's are looking mighty good right now because they're playing really good. And they get the Dodgers this weekend, so they'll be tested. We'll see how they do. All right, that'll wrap it up. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Everybody have a good Monday and Tuesday. Talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.